If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
You guys have had a couple of dogfights with AFC West teams already this year, but if you win this game, you're three games clear of the Chargers. Are you surprised that that's how the division is shaken out so far this year?
Well, you're right at that time where, I mean, these games are so important. It's important for the Chargers, it's important for us, Denver, and the Raiders likewise. So that's the time of year you're in, and you got to make sure that you batten down the hatches, man, and get things. Detail your work and don't leave anything uncovered there.
So. Yeah, because you understand, we've played two of these teams now. We haven't played Denver yet, but you know that they're great football teams. They just, in football, man, anybody can beat anybody any day. And so it hasn't gone their way in some of these games, these close, hard-fought games. But we understand how good the Chargers are. We're not looking ahead to being three games up or whatever it is. We're looking at, well, what can we do to win today so that we can win on Sunday. And so we understand it's going to be a great challenge, and we're going to play our best football if we want to win.
The truly great teams go out and play every match the same way. You're going out and playing to win. You know what I mean? We always know when we had a target on our back. We're going to catch everybody's best game. It didn't matter if we would have been 5-5 right now. We're going to catch everybody's best game just because of the type of team we have and the history of winning that we've had here.
City, this is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, November 17, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we'll talk to one of our terrific NFL insiders, Adam Kaplan, who will break down the weekend in NFL action with us at 7:30. Then we'll get the forecast from G. Lee, Gary Lezak. Former Chiefs wide receiver Derek Dieter will be in studio with us in the 8 o'clock hour. And then Chiefs beat writer Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will be in studio with us in the 9 o'clock hour. And we got some good stuff for you. Besides that, we're going to play some clips from the New Heights podcast featuring Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. And then I was going through Twitter yesterday, and good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Stephen.
And I stumbled upon, I've been stumbling a lot lately. I got to be careful with the way I walk. I stumbled upon a podcast that Dayton Moore appeared on, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. You ever heard of that one, Stan?
I have not.
Baseball Isn't Boring. Rob Bradford.
Okay.
You ever heard of that one, Stan?
Rob Bradford is his name. And so I, and he's a big fan of Dayton Moore, this Rob Bradford.
Okay.
And so I sent the podcast to, because as soon as I saw it posted, I just happened to be on Twitter when I think a station somewhere out in Western Kansas or whatever posted it. I don't know which one it was. And then I sent it to Marco. I said, listen to this and we'll cut it up. And I listened to it probably the same time he was. And I was texting him different. First he said, I'm going to get in the shower. I don't know why. Him about Dayton Moore. I'm going to get in the shower and then listen to this. So you listened to it in the shower, or you took a shower and then listened to it?
Took a shower and then listened to it. It was a 45-minute podcast.
Well, it seemed like you were going to, I'm going to get in the shower and listen to this thing. Like, listen to it while you're in the, like.
No, I didn't.
I took it the wrong way.
I had to get in my chair, get my tea.
Okay. I thought you meant you were going to get in the shower and listen.
No, I cozied up with it.
Okay. He cozied up with it in front of the fireplace. And so there's just a lot of different stuff there that I thought was interesting that we're going to play later. And I want to play it, and I want to get your reaction, Nate, because you're every man.
Okay.
All right.
I am.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
It was a late night here in Denver last night, but a really fun night at Invicta 50. And you got my interest peaked right now about this Dayton Moore podcast.
Why?
I think I'm looking for. Well, I just feel like he must have said some interesting stuff.
Not really. You didn't want to talk baseball when I had Mike Boddicker in here, so I thought maybe you'd roll your eyes at this too. Mike's feelings got hurt yesterday.
Well,
just letting you know.
I can't control that.
Right. You can control it by being nicer and more engaged with our guests. When Mike comes in here and then you say you don't want to ask him a question, you know, what does that say about him? Mike, I'm sorry. I wanted to talk to you. So
it wasn't anything personal.
What was it then?
Oh. I don't know.
Right. Did you see, Nate, I don't know if you know this, I graduated from UMKC and my son Phil.
Yeah.
My son Phil attends UMKC.
Aware of both of those things.
He is a a student in the Block Business School in the Launchpad program, and he loves it. But I guess I can say this. I never, you know what? Here's the deal with my kids. I never know what I can say. But his girlfriend goes to Kansas State. Can I say that?
Well, you just did.
Yeah. I'm going to get all this wrong. But anyway, and she's going to be a pilot. And so she,
okay.
So she's in Salina.
Okay.
I hope people, that makes sense, right? That's where the, whatever. I don't know the details. I just know she's really smart and she's going to be a pilot. And Phil's really smart and they're a great couple, okay?
And she's in Salina.
And she's in Salina, but she, you know, it's an arm of Kansas State. Look it up for me. Look up Salina, Kansas State, whatever.
Pilot program.
Yeah, I want to be
like an aviation.
I don't know.
Got an aviation
school.
So
anyway, Phil, I find out, is leaving today, but he's meeting her. He's going to go. I like this because if I was leaving to go meet my girlfriend back in my college days, I wouldn't be going to class. But also, that's why I would be struggling to get a C- at the end of the semester. He's going to go to class, And then he's going to drive and meet his girlfriend in Manhattan. And they're going to go to a 5:30 tip-off of the Kansas City Roos and the K-State Wildcats. How about that? And he's going to wear his Kansas City Roos gear, and she's going to wear K-State. And they're going to sit there and be a house divided, even though they don't live together. Couple divided. What do I call them? I don't know what it is. Isn't that, I hate to say this, and if he finds out that I said this, isn't that cute?
I mean, it is cute.
Aw.
Yeah.
I go, aw. Marco, don't you think that's cute? I don't know.
The only thing that would be cuter is if they got those jerseys, half K-State, right. Half UMKC.
Yeah, I don't think we're there yet, buddy.
Okay.
We're not ready for that. You need to pump the brakes on that one, partner. Although I'm very happy. He does very well in school. He found a nice girl, and now they're going to go to the game today. And so, I thought you'd find that was interesting.
That's adorbs.
Right. Well, so I was thinking, should I call Stan Weber and have Stan Weber have Phil approach Stan Weber at all, or?
Well, of course.
Already politely asked my friends with the Kansas City Roos to get him some good seats, maybe close to the Roos bench, and so I think they're taking care of him.
Well, I mean, he's got connections there from both sides, you know.
How about they had already bought tickets and didn't ask me about it?
Well, maybe Phil doesn't want to need your help.
Phil doesn't. He's that kind of kid. But
yes,
anyway.
Sir.
So there, 5:30, the Roos and the Wildcats getting it on.
You ask for gas money? Food money?
No, he takes care of all that.
Whoa.
He's a working man. He still works. Well, I think it's pretty much done now, but he works at the National. So, golf course. But anyway, that's a 5:30 tip-off, so I'll be interested to see how the Roos in their first year under Marvin Menzies does, and we've obviously got K-State, and they're excited about their new head coach too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a game. It could be a good game. I mean, I think Marvin Menzies looks like he's already got some talent there at UMKC. We'll see.
Yeah, they were down 5 or down 6 with 5 minutes left at LSU, but they also lost at Lincoln University, so it's been a little up, a little down so far. But that's, hey, when you're a new coach, been trying to trying to change the program and put your stamp on it, you're going to have some, some ups and downs. And then, of course, Jerome Tang doing the same thing with Kansas State.
Yeah, and all new players, got to get some chemistry and all that. Give them some time.
Yeah, man, I was a little surprised that game was happening. I knew they were playing, but then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, the game's tomorrow at 5:30. Like, okay, well, whatever. I knew it. I knew they were playing, but it's like, whoa, when did that's already here? I'm just surprised by college basketball right now. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I mean, I think college basketball has that problem, It's weird, the arc of a college basketball season. I mean, I guess it's good that the way that it goes is it just builds up and builds up and builds up all the way to the end, where sports like baseball, it's like there's this huge, massive party on the first day, and then there's kind of a huge lull in the season where interest just isn't quite, outside of the real diehard fans, it's not huge. And then it kind of comes back around in the fall and has more drama to it. It's weird. College, I think, college basketball, the first part of the season, it doesn't feel real consequential either. Okay, Kansas beat Duke. It's this big game, because they're both big names and good teams, but if Kansas had won that game or lost that game, it doesn't really affect what you'll remember about their season at all, right? Like, how many KU fans would even remember if they beat Duke last year or not in the regular season if they had played, that's just kind of a footnote. So, these non-conference games for college basketball, they're fun, but they don't really feel like they mean a ton. And there's just other stuff going on. So it's like it's usually not until you get into conference play where people really start to pay, super close attention to college basketball.
It's hard for me just because, let's just be honest. Like, when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback and the Chiefs are the best team in football, it's like I give so much attention to the Chiefs. It's almost like, and look, I love watching, even though they have many times kneed me in the balls this year, I have enjoyed the emotional roller coaster of Mizzou football. I mean, I always watch. I'm always going to go to games and watch, but it's been an emotional struggle this year with some of those games. But hey, but still, I invest in it. But then, like after that, it's like it's hard for me to have attention or the desire to watch anything else or to actually emotionally invest in anything else. And then for you and million billion other people, the World Cup is right around the corner, and we got college basketball. I mean, it's and for me, I love the off season with Major League Baseball and trades and deals and things like that. So all hell's breaking loose in sports. We should do a sports talk show. Oh, by the way, I'm going to make an ask live on the air. If you say yes, you'll make me happy. If you say no, you're going to look bad to all of our listeners, and you'll appear uppity. And you'll appear that you think you're better than the average person.
We already told you we're going to your birthday, Steven.
I won't believe Nate's going to go until I see him walk through the door. Okay? That's when I'll believe it. I'll be very happy. Okay? I bet Kelly wants to go, but Nate's dragging his feet. Nate, I'll have KU K-State on for you.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if you're disappointed or if you're happy, when the time comes.
Wow. Wow. Do you have time? You're going to be in Kansas City tomorrow? Because I never know about you. You fly all over the place.
I will be in Kansas City tomorrow, yes.
You got time after the show to do something for me?
I don't know. It depends on what it is.
We're going to be with our friends from Spice and Foods tomorrow for a little bit, right?
Right. I'm looking forward to that.
We had an idea.
Yes.
Because when it comes to the World Cup, I'm a dummy. As I know that's what you called me a bunch of times. Because I'll ask you a question about the World Cup and you'll say, "Look here, dummy."
Yeah.
Or like my one of my favorite shows, Sanford and Sons.
Shut up, dummy.
Right. We thought we could do, and it doesn't have to be long, a quick World Cup for Dummies podcast on Hot Mic with SSJ.
Ooh. That sounds like fun.
Where you could just say and be just, "Hey, here you go. If you're not a crazy soccer guy like Nate, but you would like to watch the World Cup, here's a World Cup for Dummies episode of Hot Mic for SSJ. Just give you enough information so you can be dangerous and feel like you know what you're talking about. Is that something you'd be interested in?
I like that. I would love to do that, yeah. I have a walkthrough for the World Cup watch parties that start on Monday at some point Friday, but I think I should be able to do that with you. Depends, as long as we get everything done with Spice and Foods, I'm in.
Okay. And like I said, it could just be half hour, something.
Yeah.
And we could do a couple of episodes of it, just like, because I thought that would be a good idea, too, because for people like me that want to watch it and try to enjoy it, here's what you need to know. Because there's a lot, there's a lot. Here's what you really need to know, people.
So, yeah.
All right. All right, you're in.
I'm in.
And you'll receive a pack of Shemeggy's Italian Sausage for your appearance on Hot Mic with SSJ. So.
Why, really?
Nah, maybe if you want it.
Nope.
We will take a break. Back after this, we will listen to some Travis Kelce, and we'll listen to some Dayton Moore. We'll let Nate pick. Whatever he wants to listen to, that's what we play after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind: integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call, 913-257-5426, Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the show. We'll kind of go back and forth between the sound we have from Dayton Moore's appearance on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with Rob Bradford. Is that right? Out of Boston. So, and then we'll give you some clips from Travis Kelce as well, so we'll kind of go back and forth. You seem to want to hear this Dayton Moore stuff, and it's nothing earth-shattering. I saw some interesting insights. Have you heard him talk much since the day that he, in a kind of bizarre fashion, showed up at the press conference to announce his firing? There hasn't been much since then.
I haven't heard anything from him since then.
Okay. So here's Dayton Moore on the Baseball is a Boring podcast. Here he talks about, he was asked about his departure from Kansas City and what he's going to do next. Okay. Maybe not. What happened, Marco?
It's the one soundbite I didn't open. It was a little fish that got left behind.
It was the little, Marco
in
says.
In the downloads folder.
Right. How about now? No.
I was shocked. I was surprised. I didn't see it coming. You know, we've been making plans for, you know, what we were going to do, not only the upcoming season, but the next 3 years and how we were looking to continue to evolve. We certainly felt that, you know, we've done a lot of the heavy lifting in our organization since, you know, 2017 and since, you know, our last group had moved on and we set out to build our organization through homegrown talent. We have a lot of homegrown guys on the field, quality young players that we do believe are still going to continue to get better. And so the organization's definitely trending in the right spot. So it's not something that I expected at all. Caught me way off guard, but that's part of the game. I mean, you've got to earn every single day. You've got to earn the right to put that uniform on or to be in this game for tomorrow. And John Sherman and his investment group felt that new direction was required. And so I have to accept that and respect that. But we've had some really neat opportunities, since then in the game, outside of the game, at the youth league levels, at the collegiate level. I mean, there's been a lot of different opportunities for us to filter through. But I anticipate being in spring training with somebody. And I think maybe in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, we'll be able to figure some of that out. Certainly have a lot of passion and love for this game and want to continue to be a part of it at some level. I don't have to be the main character. I just want to, again, just do what I can to do my part to continue to make the game strong and make it the game that you and I fell in love with and that our kids have fallen in love with. And so that's the most important part of it.
Nate Buchanan, your reaction.
I would say I'm a little surprised that he was so surprised, I guess.
He said shocked.
He
was planning for 3 years ahead, you know.
I guess that's, you know,
right.
That's the way you got to do your job. But the way he talked, I mean, the thing I remember the most at the end was the way he said he thought the team was in, you know, they loved the position they were in. They thought things were going great. And maybe he really did believe that, and that's why he's shocked. And I mean, I think it was pretty surprising to hear him say that when it happened, because I think everybody thought the team and the product on the field was going to produce at a higher level than it did this year. So it didn't seem, I think, to anybody else like things were in great shape. So I guess maybe that's why he's so surprised.
Okay, here's another clip. This is Dayton Moore talking about in 2017. How he had the opportunity to go back to Atlanta, but stayed in Kansas City.
After the 2017 season, you know, we had an opportunity to perhaps go back to Atlanta. Mr. Glass felt it was best for me to stay in Kansas City, and I was going to uphold his wishes. He'd been faithful to us and supportive to us. And if he wanted me in Kansas City, I was willing to stay. But I didn't anticipate ownership change. And then, you know, unfortunately, Mr. Glass became ill, and him and his family decided to sell the team. I understand circumstances change, and you know, so a couple years later, he's ill, he's dying, and he's going to sell the team. And then obviously new ownership comes in, and so that's a completely different dynamic as well, which I'm thankful I had a chance to manage through that. You know, there's probably some things I could have done better and been a little more patient with a new group who was learning the game and the organization. But, you know, anyway, like I said, you learn you know, you move on.
Nate?
Huh. I mean, there's a lot there.
I mean, there's some interesting stuff there, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to filter through, like, my reaction to it, you know.
I mean, I maybe I'm taking it too, but I'm almost like, yeah, and, you know, then the Glass to sell the team, this ownership group, they really don't know what they're doing, and I got to manage through that. And
yeah, I should have been more – it sounded to me like he was saying I should have been more patient with teaching all these new guys that don't know anything about baseball what we're really doing here.
Or I'd have left – you know, if I'd have known they were going to sell the team, I'd have left.
Yeah.
You know. Like, you know, I stayed because David Glass wanted me to stay, but I, you know, and I didn't realize they were going to sell the team.
Well, I think that's pretty clear. That's what he was saying there. For
unpack
sure.
It.
Well, he obviously had a great relationship with David Glass, and it makes sense. You know, David Glass stuck with Dayton Moore in that regime. After they really hadn't had any success for the first 6 years he was on the job. And it paid off because they won a World Series. So you can see why both sides would be pretty loyal to each other. The only part of that quote that really, like, stands out to me was just the, you know, I should have been more patient. You know, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it sounded like he was saying with all these the new owners that, you know, didn't really know baseball. I don't know how I would react to that.
Well, I've got some other clips we're going to play. His way versus the new wave of analytics, the changes to baseball. And then he explains that he was not more transactional because the people of Kansas City did not want him to be more transactional. So, Did you know that, by the way? Were you aware of that?
I was not aware of that.
Well, we're going to play that later. So.
Okay.
I got a lot here for you. Marco worked hard to put the show together and to give this sound to you, just for you to react to, Nate. So hopefully you're enjoying it so far. Back after this on WHB.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All right, we'll play some more of Dayton Moore on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. And now let's hear from Travis Kelce from his New Heights podcast with Jason Kelce. Here, the brothers started the show with Jason asking Travis who they should get on the podcast next.
Who should we get next, you think? I think there's one person everybody wants. Are you man enough to ask, really, is what it comes down
to? No, I am. Yeah, I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask him. I think I've asked already. I kind of, like, hinted at it. I was like, hey, Pat, do you like the show? He said, yeah. So it's like, yeah, come on on.
Well, you got to do it in the Pat voice.
No, I'm not doing it in the Pat voice. That's not how you get Pat on. That's not how you get Pat on.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That was, like, the one thing I did his rookie year. Like, there's no hazing in Coach Reed's, like, locker rooms. Like, there's no, like, oh, the rookie's got to do this. Like, you get, like, seniority and, like, taping lines and, like, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Or like hotel rooms and shit.
Sure.
But you don't get like, the rookies don't have to do stuff. You know what I mean? It's not expected. But the one thing I just made fun of, Pat, was every single time he spoke up in like a meeting or anything like that, I would just.
She's just a bully. So this You're just a bully.
What? It's my guy. It's one of my best friends. I just got to, right time, right place, baby.
I was talking to Jalen after the episode launched, and he said, who you guys getting next? And I was like, I think probably try and get Pat. He's like, y'all should definitely do Pat. So Jalen's on the Pat train, too. So
nice, man.
Let's make it happen. Jaylen.
Let's make it happen. You heard it here, Pat.
Other names being thrown out. Andy Reid. God, that would be awesome.
That'd be sweet, man. It's a tough ask.
It's an intimidating man.
It's a tough ask. I can't. I don't know. That's the one where I'm like, what do I go? Hey, coach.
Hey, just ask. You just ask.
I'm not a good asker, man.
It's like when you asked, whoever you asked the middle school dance in, eighth grade. You just go up and worst that can happen is they say no, right?
Yeah, and you go to the dance alone.
Yeah. And Andy's the great white buffalo, it's you got to go up there. You got to go up.
The great white walrus. The great white walrus.
If you need me to, I will text him so that you don't have to
ask. That would make it a lot easier.
If you are not
get the bug in
if you are not man enough to go up and ask him yourself.
The guy's busy, Jason.
All right, let's hear a couple of more from Travis Kelce. Here, Jason Kelce asked Travis what's a stat about the Chiefs offense that means the most to him or the most to the team?
Yeah, the win column.
It's a good stat.
In terms of other stats, I mean, I always just equate it to how do you lose games? Turnovers, third down conversions, are we scoring touchdowns or are we kicking field goals? Those are all the important ones. Like, are we converting third downs? Are we winning situational football games? At the end of the day, are we turning the ball over? And as an offense, right now we're rolling. We had a couple turnovers, and obviously you want to clean up everything, but guys are just out there playing with all the passion for the guys next to them, and that's the funnest part, man. Is that even when we kind of have a hiccup or we fumble, Isaiah Pacheco had a fumble in the red zone. But immediately after that, Coach Reid says, "Now, first play, next drive, go ahead, young man, get your rocks off and run that thing downhill like we know you know how to." Because I mean, after that, after you turn the ball over or something like that, the first thing you want to do is get the ball and just run your tail off and show everybody that you are accountable for that kind of stuff, or you are accountable with the ball in your hands. And sure enough, I mean, he had a hell of a day after that.
He told Isaiah Pacheco to go ahead, young man, get your rocks off.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Hey.
What was that?
Kelce's Mahomes.
Oh, I didn't know if you were like hacking something up or you. Okay.
That was all he said. That was his Mahomes.
Yeah. That was good, wasn't it? He said, I know his brother goes, say it as Mahomes. He goes, that's not how you get paid on the show. That's good. Okay, here's an interesting one. This is Travis Kelce on how his role has changed in the offense.
I feel like the beauty of the tight end position is that it's so universal. You can put us anywhere. You can have us do a lot of different things, whether it's to get ourselves open or whether it's to get somebody else open. There were multiple times on a third down, on a big time, drive where Coach Reid knows that they're going to bracket me. They're going to be on high alert of where I am. In situations like that, man, it's just sometimes it's better to just use me as a decoy or just use me to gather up as much coverage as I can. And that goes along with the intentions of the play caller. Now, I'm still trying to get open, but at the end of the day, if I can get somebody else open for a bigger gain or for, to get the job done, like get a third down conversion or something like that, I'm doing that 100% of the time. And that's the fun about playing the position, is that you can help out everybody else by just doing your job, and whether it's catching the ball, blocking for somebody downfield, or getting somebody open in terms of routes. But I don't think it's necessarily evolved into anything. I just think every single week Coach Reed finds ways that we can attack a defense and become successful, understanding that this is what they're going to try and do. They're going to try and stop me and Pat, knowing that me and Pat on third downs have had one of the highest third down conversion rates like in the league since Pat's been here. So they know that stat is out there. They know that Pat, is very aware of where we're at. And they know that Coach Reed likes to dial me up on third down. So that's where you just put all the trust in the coach's hands, and you just do your job, man. You be a good teammate.
It's a moment of appreciation to once again understand that we're watching a Hall of Fame coach, a Hall of Fame quarterback, and a Hall of Fame tight end operate at the peak of their powers right now. So, here's one more clip before we break. This is Travis Kelce on the hit on Juju Smith-Schuster, and then also the hit on MVS as well.
I mean, it just rips your heart out, man. Especially the way it goes down. That's never. You know, easy to see, not ever easy to be a part of.
Well, you know, later in the game, Cisco, underlay, mama, E-I-E-I-O.
That's Nelly. Cisco. That's not Cisco. I don't know how you missed your favorite song, the thong song.
That's it.
How did you miss the thong song?
I've only slept for 2 hours, all right? I'm on low sleep. Cisco and Nelly have got to be – I mean, it's the same era. Come on, give me a break. Anyway, Cisco made another violent hit on Chiefs wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Scantling, yes.
Gosh.
You said it right.
I know, but I'm just – there's so many hyphenations. All right. Sent to the blue tent.
I love you, Quez, man. I'm glad you're good, dog, but – that was not an easy one to see either.
Other Chiefs reaction, Justin Reed, we were pissed. Is that accurate?
Yeah, no, everybody on the sideline and everybody in the game was pissed. We kind of had a moment where we were like, yo, let's rally around the ball. Let's make sure we take care of our guys, man, because this is getting out of hand. There's a lot of those kind of momentum switches, like those are boosters when you have big hits like that. And I think Juju's was – the ball came out. Quez, big third down that we didn't convert. So it's just, you know, stuff like that, momentum-wise. And then on top of that, we just got to protect our guys. You know, we can't let somebody come into our house and throw bodies around and send guys to blue tents and stuff like that. It's just like, this is our house. We got to protect our guys. Get around the ball. They're a physical bunch, and they were flying around trying to impose their will. And, you know, we had to react. We had to respond accordingly, man.
Nate Bucchetti, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's I mean, I hope Juju Smith-Schuster's okay, and I hope he gets back quick. But I do think the team rallied behind that, you know. And it was – there have been a couple times this year with home games where something's happened that the team's kind of rallied behind, and then that seemed to kind of spur them on to a win. I mean, I think that roughing the passer penalty that went against Chris Jones did the same type of thing for the Chiefs earlier this year. Hopefully those guys are okay.
We will be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical
math. Welcome
man.
Back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here's a couple of more clips from Travis Kelce, then we'll move on. Here's Travis Kelce on his new teammate, Kadarius Toney. And as you hear, he references him as his, refers to him as Joka. That's his hip-hop rap name, his rap game name. Here is Travis Kelce.
This dude, Joka, man. When I don't know how the heck the
Is that
Giants
his nickname, Joka?
The Joka, man. J-O-K-A. The Joka.
Is it in reference to Young the Batman? Joker.
That's a good question. Or is it? I don't know. I'll have to ask him. I'll have to ask him where Joker came from.
Is he funny?
Yeah, like I mean, he's a great dude. I honestly was blown away with how professional he was. I mean, when you get a trade like that, you think something, you know, there's something that you have to weigh out or something that you have to, you know, bring. Ever since he's been in the building, it has been, man, this dude's smart. Man, this dude's crazy athletic. Man, this guy has a lot of confidence. And when you have a lot of confidence, that means you understand what's going on out there. You're playing. You know what I mean? You're seeing things. You know how to attack it. You know, and it, that goes back to being a smart player, a smart person. And he's just been a great teammate. I'll tell you what, man. The first couple of days I saw him, like, catching punts in practice. It is the most casual. Like, I've never seen anyone catch punts like this. I would assume that, like, all the great ones do it like this. But usually you get a guy that punts in the air. They go sprinting back to where they think it's going to go. And then they're, like, back there, like, trying to adjust to it. You know, maybe there's a little wind aspect to it. And they're like, all right, should I step up? Should I step back? Should I? He is, as soon as the punt happens, he sees where it's going, casually just starts, like, walking over. Doesn't even run, just like is like observing what's in front of him in terms of like the defense or the punt team coming at him, and is just walking over to it, and then like 10 feet before it gets to him, finally gets ready and just snags it and is like in full gamer mode. It's one of the coolest things. It goes back to the catch that he had on the sideline. He's just over there mid route just running, got two guys on him, like, I'm just gonna go ahead and make sure these gloves are on tight so I can snag this thing out there. And it's like he gets up and just crazy athlete, unbelievable player when he gets the ball in his hands, and obviously can run great routes. Happy that he got his first touchdown in the National Football League. He's the first of many for sure, man.
So can you believe the Giants let Kadarius Toney go?
No, I don't know how he got out of that building. I just don't get it. I don't get it one bit. I don't understand. I don't even want to understand. I don't even want to know what happened over there. I am just extremely happy that Brett Veach found a way yet again to get an unbelievable talented player in this building.
I'm telling you, man, and people, teams, other fans of other teams are going to be so pissed off as this thing develops, as this thing evolves with Kadarius Toney being a big part of this offense, and they're going to look back and they're going to wonder, how in the hell did the Chiefs get him for a third and a sixth round pick a year after he was taken in the first round? And now look at him. And you can just hear how giddy Travis Kelce is there. Okay, one more clip. This is Travis Kelce. You're on the Noah Gray bandwagon now, aren't you, Nate?
Yeah.
I saved a spot for you. You're in?
Yeah.
He's made nice strides this year, has he not?
He has.
Here is Travis Kelce talking about what it's like to have Noah Gray as a teammate.
As a veteran, being me as he comes in, because he arguably is more professional than I have ever been in my career. And he holds me accountable in a lot of areas of like preparation and practice and things like that. The guy is just a fine-tuned football machine, man. Anything you need, baby, Noah Gray's got you, dog.
He's not surprised me.
No, he's awesome, crazy athlete, understands defenses, understands run game and how, you know, how to incorporate his techniques and the schemes. And you know, a lot of that stuff is on the fly. There have been stuff that it's taken me years to be able to build an instinct to run a route a certain way or to block a guy a certain way that he's just been able to come in and immediately make it make sense in game time decisions and get the job done. And it's been awesome to have him in the building, as well as Jody Fortson. Noah's progression has only made the entire room, you know, that much better and that much more accountable, man. And I can't say enough about the guy. And sure enough, man, he's been making play after play. Last week you saw him on the third down or fourth down downfield making Mawson a dude over the middle. Yesterday's game or this past game, finding the end zone and making a few big plays throughout the drives. And just can't say enough about the guy, man. I'm excited to see him keep finding new roles in the offense and keep coming up big for us, man.
There's some very interesting stuff from Travis Kelce. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back after this on WHB.